Welcome to the Kelly Cardenas Podcast, where attitude is everything. On today's show, I've been chasing this dude for a long time. Actually, I don't chase him very often because he's so fast. His family is the most fit in the world, and the reason why I wanted to have you on is not because of business, not because of anything. It's because of what I see in the garage every single morning, that when I'm walking my dog and I feel like an absolute bump on a log, because this man is up in the morning, and not only him working out because you see this stuff, but he has his whole family involved in it. His wife is out there, his kids are out there, and hats off. I've got a 9-year-old and I've got a 12-year-old, and if I told them to get up and do the little ladder with me on the ground that you do, doing the intervals, doing all those things, my kids would be, I mean, they would just say no and just go back to sleep. But I'm so glad to be able to have you on the show, and please, please welcome, guys, Mr. Damian Dow. He's the owner and founder of ActivePlace.com. He told me you don't have to talk about that part, but you guys will find out about it because you're going to fall in love with this guy. But thank you again for being on the show, Damian.
Thanks, Kelly, and thanks for bringing me along. I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be a great session.
Well, the other thing that I loved about it too, man, is that you're a Warriors fan.
Big time.
Yes. Yeah. And you got the coolest accent in the whole entire world. I wish I had that accent. I would charge 10 times as much as I do right now, which I think would be amazing. Talk to us a little bit about, like, I mean, first of all, I want to go right into that active lifestyle. Why is this so important, and how in the heck can you get your kids up? And this is literally at 7-8 in the morning, and this is before school. You're having your kids and your whole family work out together. How do you get the chance to do that? How can you do that?
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, an active life for me has been something that I've pursued my whole life. It's been something that my family, my parents instilled in us at an early age, and I was a big basketballer back then and probably got to the level of, I suppose, what's over here relevant to a D-League in Australia, you know, college level, which was great, and thoroughly enjoyed basketball, but wasn't really, you know, I wasn't going to make it, right? I wasn't going to go anywhere with it. So, you know, I moved into more of athletics and more into running, cycling and triathlon, and that really just evolved. And, you know, I've really just explored on being active, and for us, it's something we want to instill in our kids, and we want to make sure that they have that as part of their life when they get older and they see it as a critical part of what they're doing in their life. And COVID just, you know, allowed us to make sure that we've got them up, we got them moving, and you know, they were part of it in the mornings. So, you know, everything shut down, right? So we said, let's do this. Yeah.
Well, I think it's amazing, though, because you're the only family, I believe, that didn't all gain 15 pounds when COVID happened. I mean, I saw you guys out there hammering it. Give us three actionable things that parents can do, because there's parents out there listening to the show right now, and they are like, how in the world can this guy... If you're watching, you know, because you can see him. He's super fit and he's a super handsome guy. If you're listening, I want to tell you he's a super handsome guy. And his kids are action figures. His wife is an action figure. I swear, I went to this Target today and I saw the Dow family action figures that you could buy, and they're posable and bendable and doing all this stuff. Give three actionable items on how we can get our kids to follow this stuff. How does that happen, Damian?
Well, you're being too kind, firstly, Kelly. Thank you. I wish all those things were real. But I think, you know, for us, our kids thrive on structure, right? And it's about getting that structure in place in the morning so they know that, hey, you're getting up at this time and this is what we're doing. And it takes time to do that with the kids. And early on, I'll admit, there was some tough periods of trying to get them up and get them moving. And there still is now. But, you know, they thoroughly enjoy that now. And in fact, it's a great time to be together as a family as well through this period. So I would say structure is a big one, having that structure in place so they know what's going on. Secondly, it's a great thing to actually instill exercise and being healthy as a critical component of someone's life. And, you know, for us, it's about firing off their endorphins when they, you know, when they're in the morning, and getting their creativity genes going in the morning as well, and just feeling good about life, right? So I think it's showing them the return on being fit and healthy and staying active is a really important part as well. And thirdly, make it fun. You know, we make a lot of fun. We get the music going. You know, we do crazy things, dance around. And, you know, it's not all about sweating it out and pushing yourself to the limit. It's about having a good time. And I think if you make it fun for them, you know, they'll want to come along and do it as well.
So talk to us too, Damian, about, you know, your upbringing. Were your parents like this with you? Did they instill those things from a very early age? Hey, I never worked out with my dad. Yeah. Now, his idea of working out was putting me and my brother against his 67 7 MGBGT. He likes me to say the whole thing. And then throwing the football at us and saying, you better catch it and not dent my car, boys. That was his. That was how I exercised with my dad. Did you exercise with your pop?
A little bit, yeah. You know, we used to play a bit of one-on-one out in the backyard and basketball, and that was a big part of our life, and I had like 25 years of playing basketball, so...
Did you beat him? Would you warp your pal?
Well, you know, as the years went on, you know, let's just say there was, you know, he had a few benefits, and we had to even out the game a little bit more as I got older and more physical, and it felt good. It felt good beating him, you know.
Yes. What's the first age that you whoop pops and then said, like, that you looked at him like, I got you, pop?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like when I was about 13.
And what did he do? Did he body you up afterwards?
Yeah, he bounced me around. He bounced me around. He didn't slow down. But I gave it back where I could. And Okay. Eventually, you know, that slowed down for him because he knew he'd get it back harder. So
what kind of game do you have? You got crazy handles. You got a shot. You got driving capability. You got hops too, right?
I don't.
You don't? You don't? With all that working out and that jumping in the driveway that you do with your family, you got no hops at all?
I'm unfortunately more endurance. And so, you know, what I was great at was I could play a game out. I could out hustle.
Okay.
I was that guy that just nagged the best shooter or the best player on the other team.
So you got mad D.
Yeah. I was all over the D and I could shoot the three ball pretty good and I could read the game well. So that was my spot and that got me in a good position and got me at a good level. But I just, you know, I'm not even 6 foot and didn't quite have the jumps to make it to the next stage, you know. So, but I love playing and I love watching it now.
Well, I realized early on that I was white and and playing basketball, but being white and under 6 foot, I mean, you know, I mean, there are some people that are like, no, that's not just a limit, but that's a limitation. You know what I mean? Is basketball as big in Australia as it is in America?
Well, I mean, you're looking at a population of roughly 26 million, so not even the size of California is the whole of Australia with the landmass of North America.
Okay.
So you're looking at a big country with a small population. Basketball is a sport there, but it's not the main sport. It's followed, and a lot of the pros or the high-level athletes will go to Europe, or they'll come over here now into the States to try and make it, or go to college. So there is a pro league there, but it's... It's a good league, but it's, you know, everyone sort of, the money isn't there as it would be somewhere else overseas.
So I love this uncommon discipline that you have. And when I watch really super successful people, and you're super humble, so you're going to be like, oh, that's not me. You are. As super successful people, I watch them and their regiment and their discipline, their resilience is crazy. And I watch it spill over into areas, but I very seldom see it in all areas. And I get to watch you when you don't know I'm watching you. Like I watch you when I'm walking my dog, when I'm in the neighborhood, I'm seeing your kids. Like your kids scale trees like nobody's business. They're like two Tarzans out in the neighborhood. The other thing that I noticed though is that you not only take and spend time as a family unit. Now Damien is getting uncomfortable because he's like, what have you been watching each other? You watch it through my, I'm not a stalker, kind of, because I admire you. But I also watch you spend individual time with your wife. Mm-hmm. How important is that? Because a lot of times when people go, like I see a lot of people, they go hard in their business. Their family suffers. They go hard in their family. Their marriage suffers. Or they're loving in their family and then their business suffers or something's off. And what I see, you seem to be firing on all cylinders. How are you able to do this and why is it so important to you to spend that coffee time that you and your wife walk over and do that and hang out and you guys just constantly chatting, talking it up? Why is that so important?
Yeah, it's. I think what you're talking about is getting that balance in life and enabling that. And, you know, I'll admit I've been out of balance many, many times. And, you know, I suppose that... It's what's the balance at the right time in your life. Sometimes your work will be more important than other things in your life and vice versa, but it's being conscious of that and bringing it back and always being aware of that. So, you know, for me, it's putting a bit of framework in my relationship with my wife, who's 20 plus years now. You know, for us, it's, you know, a minimum of one date night a month. It's a minimum of weekly catching up for a walk or something like that as a long walk. And it's checking in with each other every night and every day to make sure that, you know, we're aligned and we know where we're going together. And there are things I want to do and there are things that you should want to do if, you know, it's your life partner.
So how do you stay, like, because people will tell, you know, I heard this when I first got married, like, you need to have a date night every week. And then I like systems, so I get in the system. But sometimes the system overrides the emotional part. Does that make sense? So I'm doing the thing, but I'm not present. How do you stay present? Like when you're having your kids get up and you were saying, I want to get into the endorphin things here in a second, because you were talking about creativity. I want to go down that rabbit hole. But how are you when you're a regimented guy, which I watch you, and you're a very regimented dude. Like your garage looks better than anyone's garage in this whole neighborhood. Like Damien and I live in the same neighborhood, and our neighborhood is like Wonderland. It is not normal. There's air, oxygen pumped in. It's like the Lorax. Your garage makes me mad at you. I don't want to be your friend because I don't want my family to see that that's possible. You're such a regimented dude. How are you able to stay present and keep your, like, who you are in such a regimented scenario?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's a good question. And I think it's got to come from a desire of wanting to do that, you know, internally. You want to make the effort. It's something that comes naturally to you. And for me, I do want to make those efforts. And it's not something I need to work at. It's just something I want to do. And I think that for me is the critical component. I think when you find your life partner and you're really happy, you want to make that relationship work. And we both want that. And we're very fortunate to have a relationship we do.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite companies in the entire world, the Mina Group. As one of the top culinary experiences in the world, celebrity chef Michael Mina and his team are dedicated to giving you what you never knew you always wanted. With 30 locations throughout the world, this company is focused on the one thing that truly matters, their people, and that is why they are your world of wow. Change your life by going to michaelmina.net. So I do want to go down the rabbit hole of what you were talking about, because you said, you know, with your kids, one of the most important things for you is getting them going in the morning, and that helps creativity.
Yeah.
Like, where did you learn that? Did you learn that by it just happening, or did you read about it, or did you have a mentor that talked to you about it? Because I never, growing up, my dad wasn't like, yo, run around the block so you could be creative.
Yeah.
He was like, run around the block because I'm chasing you with something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's amazing where science has gone now, and the, you know, there's been proven studies that show this. They show that, you know, you exercise, it's proven to release endorphins. It's proven to signify creativity in the body, and it's proven to get you moving and positive outcomes. So for us, we have a very creative middle child. Is a budding actor, and for us it's a way to get their day started, and I think that creativity comes in whatever form and fashion that they're passionate about.
Yeah. How are you able to support your kids? Because I think a lot of times, I mean, you're in the software industry. You've been in the software industry for how many years now?
Roughly about 10 years.
Okay, so in 10 years, I mean, you're a brilliant guy. A lot of times parents have the tendency to force upon their kids what they do. Like, hey, I'm in tech, you need to be in tech. I went to Stanford, you need to go to Stanford. I went to Harvard, you're going to Harvard. I went to beauty school, you're going to beauty school, right? How are you able to allow your kids? You got two kids and they're very, very different.
Yeah. Well, three kids.
Okay, three kids. Yeah,
9, 11, and 13.
Okay.
So I think for me is, you know, I'm all about enabling the kids to really, you know, have the best opportunity in their life to be the best version they can be of themselves. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why we moved here from Australia, is give them that ability to be the best version of themselves here. And for me, I'm very passionate about that and helping them find whatever that is in their path. But it's not up to me to make that decision on what their purpose is and what their passion in life is. It's my decision to help that and encourage it and celebrate it with them. As a support, you know, I'm not here, they're not here to be me. I'm just here to help them on their journey. And for me, it's enjoyable watching them discover what that purpose is. And very fortunate that, you know, two of them, I think, have found it. The third one is getting there. And I get enjoyment in just celebrating and enjoying that with them.
So a thing that blows me away is a thing called dad strength. Now you have crazy strength anyway. Like your endurance is ridiculous. And you have really, for those of you who aren't watching, he's got like perfect teeth too. So I don't like you at all, Damien. Like perfect teeth. You're fit. You got a beautiful wife, great kids that are working out in the morning. I don't like you and we're not going to be friends. But there's a thing called dad strength. And if all of you guys out there listening, you know what dad strength is. Like your dad would work for like 20 hours and then he would get home and he would shovel the snow or he would do whatever. And there was always this dad things that he could do. Talk to us a little bit about your dad and what kind of dad strength you saw at a very early age.
In my dad, well, I mean, my dad, he's, I would say he's from the old school, right? And so he left school very young, you know, not the most educated. And, you know, he had to really hustle to find his way in life. And, you know, he did what he needed to do to be successful. And, you know, that resulted in some sacrifices in our life. We moved around a lot. You know, I've been to about 8 to 10 schools in my life through my junior and high school period. We traveled and moved into a lot of different states and houses. But, you know, he did what he needed to do to sort of reach his purpose. You know, what I learned from him was, you know, just, I suppose, just the hustle and the desire to get something done and, you know, the resilience to keep going no matter what. And that's fantastic what he did. And you know, he's, you know, 74 today, surprising. Wow. And he became a black belt in karate 2 years ago. So he's still doing his thing.
What's the thing that you saw your dad, like, let's talk specifics, like when you were growing up and you saw him do this thing or you saw this particular situation happen that you knew that, hey, this really made an impact on me and pushed me to this, you know, to be able to accomplish amazing things? Because when I watch people like yourself that are flying in these circles, I find that there's two things in common. One, you got a phenomenal attitude. Number two, you got crazy work ethic, right? And with those two things, you win all the time, right? Tell us about one of those times specifically as a kid growing up and that you saw. Like my dad had one where, you know, he talks about it all the time. I don't even know if it's true. So pop, if it's not true, I've been telling people. He said his dad went out to the truck and he had to get to work. He worked his first job and then he was going out to do his second job. He went out to the truck and the drive had gone out. So as opposed to saying, calling in for work and not going, he drove in reverse for like 12 miles.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if this is true. It is true, but I give him a hard time about it. But he not only did that, but then drove home in reverse. What was something that your pop did at an early age that you saw?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what I saw was, you know, a lot of hard work. Like you mentioned, he certainly did that. And he grinded hard to get where he got to today. And I saw him take some risks later in life. You know, he started his own business, his own startup at 50, or just over 50, a new financial planning dealership. And that became very successful over that period. I mean, he had a great job at what he was doing at that time. And he could have just easily set sail into the sunlight and sort of seen it out. But he quit it and started a new business late, very late in life. And, you know, that shows me the risk taking and the management of that was, you know, very inspiring.
So take us to the dad strength. I just heard about your dad strength the other day. I've been doing research on you from a very reputable source that told me about some dad strength with the Iron Man that you did. Talk to us about that experience and what you went through to be able to make it happen. It was in Kona too, am I correct?
That's
or was
right.
It? No, it was a Kona that you did Iron Man there. Okay.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, you talk about once I left basketball, endurance sports was, you know, I kind of found I was, fell into it and I was pretty good at it. I was good at running, cycling, swimming and triathlon and I fell in love with it and enjoyed it and it was a passion of mine. I worked, you know, trained a lot of hours. I did an Iron Man, loved it, got a lot of injuries out of that to the point where I was about 32, 33 years old. I had a hip replacement, right? So I had to get a metal hip put in, but that didn't stop me in 2 years.
Because of the running? So for those of the people out there that don't know what an Ironman is, explain to us what an Ironman is, because some people are like, oh, wow, he's an Ironman. Yeah, he's an Ironman. I know Marvel. No. Tell us what that is.
Yeah, it's an event where you basically swim, ride, and run.
How far, Damien?
Well, an
Ironman. You're playing it down. You're being humble. If I ran, that's why God did not give me the ability to be able to do an Ironman, because I'd be walking around and be like, yo, I just biked this far, I ran this far, and I swam that far. What now? Like, because, you know what I mean? So tell us what it is.
Yeah, like, for sure.
How far you run?
Well, you start the swim. The swim's around 4K, just under 4K, okay. 4 kilometers in miles. It's still trying to figure out.
We're all in the United States here. I'm just kidding. We have listeners all over the world. But help us with it. So 4K is
3.8K, and then you ride 180 kilometers.
Okay.
And then you run a marathon.
How far is 180 kilometers?
180 kilometers is a long way. And
So a 5K is 3.1 miles.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you do 4K in the water almost. So you're talking about almost 3 miles. So a little like 2.8, somewhere around there. I'm probably bad on the math.
Yeah.
180 kilometers. How far is that riding?
Well, that would be, 120 mile roughly would it be?
Good like Lord, maybe? 120 miles. Roughly. Somewhere around there, maybe 100. Let's call it 100. We'll round it down for you. And then run a full marathon.
Yeah.
26.2. Do not forget the .2. Yeah. I did a marathon one time, Damien, one time.
Yeah.
Because my wife told me I couldn't.
Yeah,
good on you. Dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Did not train. I ran four times for 4 miles before I did it. And then I went and did it because she told me I couldn't.
Good on you doing it.
It was done. Yeah. It was crazy. And when I ran across the finish line, you know what I said?
Never doing it again?
No, I yelled out, I didn't train for this. And while the people were cheering, they stopped cheering, Damien. They were like, what did he say? I said, yeah, F training. You don't have to train. I didn't do anything. And all the people were like, jerk, you know. But I just wanted to show them, like, you put your mind to something,
yeah,
you could do it. So you got a hip replacement from doing this, and then you went out and did it again.
Yeah,
okay, well, that's smart, Damien. Yeah. I want to tell you, that's great.
Well, it's determined, you know, and the Hawaii Ironman is the world championships, right? So you got to qualify to get there.
Okay.
You know, so you got to do an Ironman, finish in your top of your age group, which, you know, top two or three where it was for me, and then you get to the world championships where there's the 2,000 of the best Ironman or triathlete athletes in the world in that year compete at the Hawaiian Ironman. It's in Kona, the big island in Kona, and, you know, it's hot. There's lava. There's, you know, you're swimming in the ocean. And
swimming in lava?
Not yet. No, I haven't got that one yet.
I was about to say, Damien, man. Okay. So it's hot.
Yeah.
There's lava rock. There's all this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us about what you go through when you're starting. Where are you at in your head when you're about to start this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it starts before you get there, right? Your training regime is massive. You know, you're training. I was training roughly 25, 30 hours a week on my lead in.
Do you still have a job at this time?
Well, I was doing a startup at the time, and I had flexible hours. And let's just say that it was a good timing.
Did you have kids at this time?
Well, yeah, we just had our third. Was just a newborn. So
you had three kids.
Yeah,
you have a wife. You got a startup, and
doing the Ironman World Good. Championships. Yeah.
Okay, keep going, keep going, keep it going.
And so I've got a very understanding wife.
Yes,
so,
you do.
So you're training, you know, a good 12, 14, 20 weeks before the actual event. And so if you do these, you do the training, unlike yourself, at the start of this, you go into the event, you know, very well prepared because you've done the kilometers, you've done the time, you've done the distance. You know your body can handle it, and it comes down to, you know, what you think you can achieve in a certain time.
Where are you at mentally, though? Like, where are you at mentally as you're going in? Are you going in like, yo, I'm about to get this thing? Mm. Or are you like, I'm kind of nervous? Or what is it? Like, does Damien go into that, like, you know, that apex predator mode? Yeah. Like, I'm about to smash you? Yeah. Is that what you get into when you're competing? You do, huh?
Well, you do. Well, for me, it's the celebration for me. The event is the fun part.
Yeah.
Because you've done all this training, you've got there, and you know, you're confident, right? It's no different in business and what you do. You do the training, you do the hours, you work hard. The outcome is the result. Everyone goes, wow, how lucky are you? They haven't realized all the backstory, right? And so for me, you get there, and it's a time of celebration. I internalize a lot, and for me, it's going through a plan of my race. It's, you know, thinking through it, working through it, and really smiling and enjoying your experience there, and enjoying the struggle, enjoying the pain. And, you know, I think a lot of people turn away from those sort of things. And for me, I embrace them and I enjoy them. And it's kind of a bit of a sick experience doing that. But, you know, for me, it's part of the journey, and it's no different in life. You know, it's the same thing. It's about embracing the struggles, and it's enjoying the struggles. And I think a lot of people turn away from those type of things, and this sport really sets you to challenge yourself, and you go through a lot of internal demons on that day. It's a, you know, I raced in about 9.5 hours. You know, the people at the end there, they're finishing in 17, 18 hours. You know, they're coming in zombie-like fashion, 18 hours outside.
You did training. The whole Ironman in how long?
I did 9.5.
Good.
Pros go around about 8.5. And I was really happy with that outcome. But the challenges and the demons, as I said, you go through the day, it really tests you and tests your spirit and tests what you're made of. And I think any athlete that's done that will testament to that same feeling.
Here we go again with the shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Piper Diamonds for all your jewelry needs. My necklace that I get complimented all over the country and all over the world, my pendant was made by Piper Diamonds Company. This place is absolutely phenomenal. When you're looking for that special something for that special someone, Piper Diamonds is the only answer. It's piperdiamonds.co. And it's also brought to you by Kelly Cardenas Salon in Las Vegas and in Chicago. This is top-level service, guys, without the ego, and hands down, the greatest shampoo experience that you will ever have in your life. This will create an evangelistic type experience. You will be talking about this for years and years to come. The wash house, completely separate area, different sound system, soundproofed, head, neck, and shoulder massage. You will be over the moon with your experience, and you can schedule your appointment at KellyCardenasSalon.com. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Tell us about some of the things, because I hear about, like, you know, when you go through these things, like weird things happen to your body, like toenails come off, you know, different things. Talk to us about some of that. I've heard about people running marathons and just soiling themselves while they're running because they want to make the, and I ain't down with doo-doo in my pants to get better. I'll stop at an outhouse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I stopped at a casino. I did it in Vegas. I wasn't about to doo-doo in my drawers and then run, because that would be a weird run. You know what I'm saying? That would be some chafing. It would be tough. And you would be smelling like doo-doo too.
Yeah.
So what was, did you doo-doo yourself?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah. Did you just drop it out your shorts or what?
Well, you know, you practice it.
You practice doodooing in yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You did.
Well, you know, you're in the train, you're out
How
riding.
Do you practice doodooing yourself?
Well, it's number ones, right, mainly. you don't want to do it too.
Okay, you didn't doodoo yourself then.
No, you don't want to go number two. Number right. two, you want to hold off.
Maybe there was some there was some language barrier there, the fact that you're from Australia and I'm from America. I said doodoo and you said yes. I was like, damn, you doodooed your draws, man. Okay, so you pee yourself.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you just pee yourself. So number one, you said number one, because your kids are going to listen to this.
Never number two.
Okay.
Never number two.
You never doo-dooed your drawers.
No. Never. Never. Never.
Even just a little bit? For those of you out there, I'm telling you, if you're a marathon runner and you doo-dooed your drawers, I want to interview you on this podcast. But okay, so you practice peeing your pants.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're out 5, 6, 7 hours training on the weekends, and you just, it's a
Is there a technique?
Yeah, there's a technique.
So break it down for us. Like, I'm a 4-year-old. I need to learn how to pee my pants at a championship level. How do I pee my pants at the championship level?
Well, if you're running. Okay. Yeah, you've got an aid station coming up. Yeah, you're ready to go. You got water coming over you. You're drinking. It's walk it out, and you know, no one would know, right? No one would know. You're at this aid station,
okay.
Right? Yeah. So that's simple. That's simple. In the bike, you know, you got to. It's a bit more difficult, right? So you got to get up and make sure no one's behind you. You don't want to get anyone else behind you hitting that, and you just do it privately as you can, and spray a bit of water, and you're on.
Yeah,
yeah, keep going.
I didn't even think about tossing the water.
Yeah.
Now, is there times in the neighborhood where you're just walking the dog and pee yourself?
Yeah, you haven't stuck me out on that.
I'm just joking. So what's another? I got into that part, but I mean, have you had your toenails come off?
Well, I've been pretty fortunate like that. You know, it's how far you can push yourself. And I've had a few experiences where, you know, I've taken some supplements and the likes, and they haven't agreed with me, and you know, throwing up impulsively on the bike or running, and
while you're running, you're throwing up.
Yeah, on the bike, you're throwing up on the side. You know, while you're riding, and it's coming up, and you know, it's a difficult situation, but you need to recoup yourself recover your liquids. Okay. It's all about managing your inflow of nutrition and hydration through those periods.
Yeah.
It's like the fourth leg is nutrition and hydration.
Wow.
So you have to bring that back and then stabilize yourself and keep going. It's a long day. And like I said, there's plenty of demons and there's ups and downs and everyone's going to have problems. But you, it's how you work through those problems through the day.
Tell me the demons. Tell me those things that, because I, like you were saying, you related it to business too, right? And when I look at people who are highly successful at what they do, right, you're always going to deal with demons. Like most people are that maybe watch it from the outside are like, oh, wow, you know, Damien is killing it. He's doing amazing with his business. But they don't know about the challenges that you had. Yeah. They don't know about pushing through. What's your mind telling you through this Ironman? What are some of the demons that come in and that are talking to you?
Well, I think all, everyone will get them who's doing it is like start walking, you know, stop. You've done hard work. Everyone's happy where you've achieved. You've just got to the race. You know, it's your mind telling you that you've had enough, you know, and you can't go on anymore and you've pushed hard enough and you've done a good enough job and, you know, and it's the top of these things. So, you know, they come around and they come around in the form of they can just come on like a light, you know, like just a light switch. All of a sudden you're feeling good. The next minute you're feeling bad. You got a stitch, you're getting cramps, your body starts to break down, and that's where it normally starts. And it's how you work through that in your mind and not let it overtake you, right? And it's about having a system in place, knowing when that hits that, knowing that you got to see your way through that, right? You got to problem solve. And it's all about problem solving out there every day. All day when you're racing, it's just one problem solving solution after the other. It's no different in business, right? Understand the problem, work through it, and then get through the other side and keep going. Because you can come out the other side, and you do, and I have many times, and you feel great. You feel great. You know, you haven't let it beat you.
So, Damien, if I wanted to train for an Ironman. Damien's going to laugh at this because he's going to be like, no, I've seen you go to the beach with your chair and you're
I've
not
seen you ride your bike.
I ride a beach cruiser, brother. I do have a road bike, but I go by myself because I'm so slow. One time I crashed at the beginning of the pandemic. I crashed on my bike, but it was at 2 miles an hour and I was clipped in. It was the most awful experience, not because it hurt, because it hurt my pride.
Yeah.
I clipped in. And I was going, and I wasn't really paying attention. And at 2 miles an hour, I just fell over, and it was the slowest fall. And then I ended up hitting my side, and then I rolled over, and my feet are still clipped in, and I'm like a turtle, and the bike is straight up in the air, and I can't do anything. And cars are driving by, and they're like, that guy fell so slow. That was awful. But if I came to you with my bike and I was like, Damien, I want to get better, you would give me a training regimen. You could help me. You got your trainer in the garage. I love that. It's amazing. Talk to us about if I came to you and said, I want to train my mind, what would be some actionable things? Because your mind is crazy. Like your resilience, and I see it. Like when we started talking basketball and you said defense, you went to defense. Like I don't want to play basketball with you now because you're going to beat me really bad. You've got that, but that comes from training. What's the person out there that's listening? How can they start to train their brain?
Yeah, for me, I think everyone's different, right? And everyone works differently, operates differently. For me, I meditate a lot. And I really find that silence brings me clarity. Okay. You know, I enjoy goals. Goals are a big thing in my life. And having a goal and working towards that with motivation and purpose for me is a big piece as well. It works my mind well. And then having a clear plan on how to achieve that as well is something that, for me, I have a plan. I have a framework that I work within to achieve that. And my mind works extremely well around those areas. So for me, I'm very structure orientated. Some people are not like that, you know, and I would say for those sort of people, you know, start small, you know, start with a tiny habit, start with something small to get you going in your mind, to move you towards where you want to go, and then build from there.
How have you prepared yourself for the no's that you're going to get? Because as an entrepreneur, they say there's 7 no's to every yes, but I want to debunk this theory because I get a lot more no's. Seriously. Like, I remember when I started the podcast, right? I mean, I reached out to every single person that I could possibly. I mean, I'm a big Tennessee Titans fan, so I reached out to Derrick Henry. You know, yeah. I've hit him up a bunch of times. He's still, Derrick, you're out there. You still haven't got it. You still haven't hit me back. Reached out to Ryan Tannehill yesterday. I said, yo, I want you on. I sent him videos. They said no, but I reached out to the general manager of the Tennessee Titans and got him. Awesome. Right? Talk to us about how you prepared yourself to hear no.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because, you know, hearing no, you can take it personally. You know, this is, you know, you in business, it, especially if it's your own business, it's kind of like your life work a lot of times, and it's your pride and joy, it's your baby in a way. And for someone to say no, you're like, well, it can be emotional, you know, sometimes. And you need to check yourself on those things and realize that it's not personal. And it's no for a reason that's not necessarily to do with you or your business or personal on how you presented. It's got a lot of factors, right? And, you know, especially when you're sort of trying to raise money or whatever it might be, you know, people are busy out there. People have their own interests and own agenda out there. And you have to understand that, you know, timing is everything. And sometimes you just got to find the right timing. And for me, someone says no, well, that's the universe telling me that that person wasn't right. And the right person will come along, learn from it, and just get back out there and keep going.
So with Active Place, right? So with Active Place, why is Active Place so important to you? And why do you believe it? Like, people ask me this, you know, like my wife, before we were married. So I was starting our company. This was 15 years ago. I had got fired from my job on my day off, like Craig from Friday.
Yeah.
I had this dumb idea that I was just going to start a company. No one in my family had ever started a company before. We're driving to the first place where we're opening up first location. We're dating at the time, so this was just me on my own. I don't have a rich uncle. I don't have anything like that. She turned to me and said, "What happens if it doesn't work?" And I tell you, like, I'm not some like guru, Buddha, anything like that. But I just turned to her and I said, "I'll work harder." And then she just relaxed and we just continued on. And in my head, I was thinking, well, you give me enough shots, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
Why is that so strong with Active Place for you?
Yeah, there's many ways I could answer this. I think the most direct way to answer it is, you know, I think in my life, I've been through a lot through startups. You know, I've been through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, right? I've had some interesting business partners. I've seen things I shouldn't see, Wolf of Wall Street type things. And, you know, it's, you know, I've seen a lot. And for me, it was coming through all these things and through a lot of hard time. And interesting enough, through those hard times, which got very low for Claudine and I over a period, Active Place was born through these hard times. And, you know, if we didn't have them, it wouldn't be what it is now. And we wouldn't be on this journey we're on now. So, you know, for people that think hard times are bad and good times are good, it's the reverse a lot of times. You just don't know what's going to be in front of you for what reasons. And for me, Active Place has come around as my life work. And, you know, I'm super passionate about it. And similar to yourself, it's, you know, plan B is work harder on plan A, right? And that's just what I'll be doing. And, you know, I'm really excited to where it's going to go.
So talk to us a little bit about it because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I loved the name and I loved what you were talking about when you were explaining it to me because I couldn't think of a better representation. There's a lot of people out there that do business that, and they always come to me and they're like, how do you brand? Mm. For me, just who I am.
Yeah.
Right? It's very easy for me to talk about who I am. Mm. And so when I work with companies on branding, when I help them to be able to expand their brand, tell their story, they always ask me, first of all, like, should I sit down and write a mission statement? No. Mm. I think you should live it and then get a sentence out of that you actually did. That will become your mission statement because I think a lot of times people get so caught up on it, on the mission statement, and then they try and live it and they try and wrap themselves around something that they wrote as opposed to living it and then writing out something that they lived.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So with you, you live what this is. Mm-hmm. Can you explain it to the listeners out there?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a tech startup. It's what we call a social marketplace, which is in an app form. The simplest way, or our catch line is your active life in one place. The problems it's solving is basically the offline mechanics of running your active life. If you're looking to do a marathon, you know, you've got another components around that, right? You might have a coach, you might have your masseuse, you might have your nutritionist, you've got the event, you've got all these areas, and that areas at the moment are very fragmented. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this at the moment in the industry where there's a lot of tech coming out, but it's actually causing more fragmentation in the market and a lack of trust because you don't know where to go to source information on your health and wellness. For us, ActivePlace brings that together. It enables the person who wants to be active and healthy to come to one place in their life to find these things, to find a community to connect with through a social component, but then also the products and the functional component of being active is there for them to achieve an outcome in their life as well.
So is the cultural in Australia to be as active as you guys are, or is that a DAO family thing?
It's an active nation, no question. Okay. You know, we've got great weather down there.
So you're saying you're better than us? No. I'm just joking.
we normally do well for the, you know, per capita and in Olympics and the likes, right? But you know, we are naturally active. Not everyone over there, obviously. You know, obesity rates are still at a quite a high level for Australia. You know, not too dissimilar to over here. Yep. But generally speaking, they're quite an active nation.
Another pause for station identification and shameless promotion. This episode is also brought to you by Finley Cars of Las Vegas. I tell you, next level in the car buying experience, and not only that, but the life of your car, the service that you're going to experience is incredible. It's Finley Volvo Cars. LV.com. And also brought to you by Bling Shine Serum, the only product on the market that will add weightless moisture, strength, and shine, and the only product that has the endorsement of my mama. When I showed her all the features and benefits, she smelled it and she said, "This is the greatest product that you've ever done." And I thought, "Mom, do you not look at the features and benefits?" She said, "No, if it smells like that, it must work." And I tell you, every single woman needs a little bit of bling in their life, and this can be purchased at KellyCardenasSalon.com. What are some of the differences, you know, say like when you're here? I mean, obviously you get preferential treatment because of your accent. You go someplace, people are going to be nicer to you. They're going to assume that you're a lot smarter than anybody else in the room too because of your accent. I do, right off the bat. That's the only reason why I wanted to be your friend. I heard your accent and I was like, man, I don't have an Australian in my crew. You know what I mean? So, but talk to me a little bit about the cultural differences too, because I mean, obviously, like, you're not only dealing with them, your wife is dealing with them, but your kids are dealing with them too. Yeah. So what are some of the things that, and on the positives and the negatives?
Yeah, I mean, last year was a huge year. You know, we moved here last year and, you know, it was
what happened last year?
Yeah,
Damian?
Well, yeah.
What do you mean?
Not much. Oh, no. We got a crash course in American culture, really, you know. It was a difficult time, I'd imagine, you know, for Americans, you know, what was going on, you know, from the election to COVID to Black Lives Matter and everything else in between. It was a difficult time to be a part of it. And I think, you know, give full respect to America is, you know, it has the spotlight on it. You know, the world has the spotlight on America and it does something. Everyone reacts in a way and looks at it and potentially even, you know, sort of looks down in some ways. And I think if you did that in any country, you know, and put the spotlight on it, it'd be a different story. So for us, we saw, you know, democracy is a big thing over here, right? You know, and everyone's right to freedom and speech is massive. Politics is huge over here in Australia. You know, there's an election, and you hear who won. I don't know. We'll find out next week. You know, no one really truly is that too worried about it in respect to what it's like over here. So it's very different from that perspective. And for us, you know, we learn a lot about, you know, through the Black Lives Matter, and for us, that's something very new. Where we live in a very different culture in Australia around that area.
One of my buddies that is from Germany, I was talking with him, and he was saying that we're a very visionary country, right? So, and he was like, "There's the positive and the negative. The visionary is like, wow, this is so amazing." But he's like, "You guys sell things on a vision." Like in Germany, we sell things on the craftsmanship of this thing. Yeah. He said the negative of that is that a lot of times we wait until it's absolutely perfect. Yeah. And by that time, the visionary has already sold a million like inferior products, yeah. but it has really, really good marketing. Yeah. In Australia, what are the differences between, like, that you know, when we talk about that, the juxtaposed positions, what are some of the things from Australia and America that are just so different?
Yeah, I mean, for us to come over here and be in the business over here, we saw a great opportunity, not only in the market as a great opportunity, but also in the culture over here. You know, you celebrate entrepreneurism, you celebrate startups, and what I love about America is you celebrate people giving it a go. You know, you're like, you fall down, you're unsuccessful, everyone's like, good on you trying, you know, that's great work, get back out there, man, and do it again, right? and I love that spirit. Australia is a little bit different like that. You know, we have a different culture. We come from the British, and you know, there's a colonization there of a different upbringing. And for us, there's this saying called in Australia called tall poppy syndrome. Have you heard of that? Tall poppy syndrome.
Tall poppy
syndrome.
Okay, got it. No.
See, exactly. I haven't even heard of it, right?
Okay.
So basically, it's an Australian saying which says that if anyone in Australia gets too successful or does something too good, Australians will bring him down, right? Bring you down a peg. So like, you can do well, but you can't do as well as me. Right. And so it's this thing in Australia, which is a cultural thing. And it's very difficult to be an entrepreneur in Australia and get out there and put yourself out there and try and achieve something that's never been achieved before. Because, you know, people will bring you down if they see you starting to get successful in Australia in other ways. We're here, it's celebrated. And I love that. And that's one of the reasons why we came here as well.
So what are some of the gaping holes that you see? Like, I just got a chance to talk to a guy named Thomas Kim. I want to connect you with him. This guy is unbelievable. But Thomas comes from first generation. His mom was from Korea. So she immigrated from Korea, yeah. slept on the floor of her sister's house in an apartment, and worked her way and became a certified RN there in Chicago, and like worked her way up and literally slept on the floor. She was willing to do it. There's another story that I read a book. It's called Self-Made in America by John McCormick. He's a phenomenal guy. He talked about this family that had a store in the mall, and they actually slept inside the back of the store.
Wow.
And saved money until they could buy another store, and they could do these kind of things. Immigrant families see gaping opportunity in America that a lot of times Americans don't see. Mm. What were some of those things that you saw when you came over that you were like, holy, do you guys not see that?
Yeah. Well, I'm still learning them. Okay. It's only been a year, but I mean, just exactly what we're talking about, the ability to start something, and the market you have here, the consumer market here is ridiculous to the size compared to Australia, and the opportunity to be a part of that market is something that's real. And for me, you know, you have everything here you need to create a business, and you've got the market, you've got the tech, you've got the people, you've got everything, right? Even I feel there's great government support around it. So for us, it's the place you need to be if you're looking to start a business.
What about coming from Australia, what are some of the barriers of entry? If you wanted to do exactly what you're doing in Australia, outside of the tall poppy, because we learned the tall poppy thing, write that down, everybody that's listening, tall poppy. Outside of that, what are some of the barriers that are there culturally that, you know, that aren't here in America?
In Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a smaller population. You know, firstly, it's got high labor rates as well. So, you know, the cost of employment is much more expensive in Australia to bring someone on as staff.
Okay.
There is not as many government benefits as well in starting your own business in Australia. It's not really enticing, or the government entice you to create your own businesses over there as well. And, you know, I think the tech over there is not quite where it needs to be compared to over here or other countries as well. You know, we just don't have we don't have the population, and we don't have the technology advancements over there.
So you come over here, you've got this uncommon mindset, coupled with uncommon discipline, because not many people have both, right? Some people have uncommon mindset, but they don't have the discipline to be able to follow through on it. You're a regimented guy. That's what you were talking about earlier. You like structure. Tell us something that gets Damien out of his structure, that makes you belly laugh, that makes you just like that, that gets you no ROI, that gets you no return on investment, that gets you no benefit at all, that you do just because you want to do it.
Well, it's, you know, I think what I enjoy, I mean, I enjoy spending time with my family, you know. My boys are crazy kids, and I think a bit of fun is just dancing around the kitchen, just doing silly, goofy things with them, right, is things that I really enjoy and spend time with. And for me, that gives me a lot of fun and a lot of happiness. So, yeah, just spending time with the kids, I think they bring out the joy in you, right, young kids, and their play nature we forget as we get older, right, and to be a part of that and to embrace it with them and enjoy it as they grow is good fun.
How can you foster great discipline? Because that's a muscle too. It's something that you've grown over time. It's not just something, or do you feel that that's just innate? Do you think it's born in you, or do you think you develop it?
What do you think?
I learned very early on. I heard someone say something. He said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Mm. But you can add salt to the diet. I believe with breath in your lungs and a willing spirit, and the right people around you, I believe you can do anything. Mm-hmm. I believe this to be true. Some people feel, no, it's just, you have it. You're just born with it. I believe that we're born with certain gifts, but I mean, I think that the common factor, and this is just my opinion, the common factor in all people who accomplish crazy things is their attitude. Mm. Every one of them. Like if you look at it, it's just, it simply is. I mean, if you look back to Napoleon Hill writing Think and Grow Rich, he wasn't talking about money. He was talking about get to a point where you think and then you grow rich, but you grow rich in your spirit and the ability to be able to do that. That's why I admire you so much, Damien, is because I see the resilience in you. I see those things and I see it in the practice, you know, the practices. But also then I question it because I see you, you're super fit, you're super disciplined. I see your wife is absolutely beautiful, she's super fit. Mm-hmm. And then I see your action figure kids and I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it born?
Well,
or is it nurtured?
I think for me, it needs to start with someone's motivation, right? And someone's purpose.
How do you become motivated?
Well, you need to find a purpose. You need to find something that gets you up in the morning, something that, is
what age were you when you found your purpose?
Well, my life purpose, I only found it a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, tell you the truth.
So how were you so determined? Like, how were you so focused in? Was your dad telling you, like, Damien, you need to find your purpose? Was your mom telling you something?
No, not at all. It's just something I've figured out over time. I think you go through this self-development, personal growth piece in our life, and for me it was learning that if you have a purpose and you understand that purpose, and that purpose is truly aligned to what's in you, right, it's what you feel, it's not from ego, it's not what someone else is telling you, right, it's not something outside, it's something that comes naturally to you, and you have that, you will want to achieve that, right, you will want that, and when that happens, the motivation comes. And I think, as you said, anyone that has that motivation and has that deep purpose and desire to do something, they will find ways to do it, whether they've got the discipline or not. They will make it work, right? And for me, that's critical. And I would say anyone out there is find your purpose. And it's, you know, sometimes it's easier said than done, but it needs to come from within. It needs to come from within. And then discipline can come off the back of that.
So you were doing all, you said that your purpose, you found your purpose 3 years ago. Now, Damien, you told us about you doing Kona. You told us about all these other things that you were doing, getting to like a D-League kind of scenario basketball-wise. And how tall are you?
I'm like, well, my wife and I fight about it. I'd like to say I'm 6'4", but I think I'm shrinking to about 5'11".
Okay, 5'10". So you did all those things. You were that disciplined. You were that focused in. And you said you just found your purpose 3 years ago. Tell us about how you found it.
Well, that's a journey, question. It's a journey of anyone goes on of self-discovery and self-growth. You know, it's a journey that you got to be willing to take the knocks as you learn that as well. And, you know, I made plenty of mistakes on the way to find that purpose. And it's not something you just wake up in the morning and go, hey, I'm going to do this, or hey, this is a great idea. You know, it's through hard work. It's through getting out there, giving things a go, making a heck of a lot of mistakes, right? And, you know, chasing the wrong things and realizing that, you know, coming back around and going, well, that was all wrong and I need to fix these things and I need to internalize what that means and then come back around and go, well, you know what, this is, you know, the fork in the road and this is the road I need to go down, not the other one, which I stupidly did the other the other time, right? And that's part of the journey is doing that. And then I think when you find your path, it's a beautiful thing because you wake up, you're self-motivated, you have the discipline, you want to do it, and it's like, you know, like you're doing now, it's like not working, right? It just becomes part of your life, and it's a beautiful thing.
My brother said this, and I credit him, so shout out to Rob Cardenas. He's the man. When you meet him, you're going to absolutely love him. He said that a person's success is made up of their failures.
Yeah.
Right? And then I read something yesterday. I was at the beach, and I read failure to succeed. Mm-hmm. But it depends on how you actually emphasize that sentence or that phrase that can change your life.
Yeah.
Failure to succeed. Oh, I failed to succeed. Or you could say, I failed to succeed.
Yeah. Nice.
Talk to us about, because you said that you and Claudine went through some really low points. Let's talk about them. I didn't ask if there was anything off limits, but
that's all right.
We're recording right now, so you can't. If you do, you're going to look like a chump. And then everyone's going to be like, Damien is so disciplined, but he won't go there. He's a chump. So talk to us about specifically some of those low points, because I think that that speaks to me what I've found with our audience and all the people out there listening. More people connect with when I say that I lost my job 15 years ago. And yeah. I had nothing.
Yeah,
I had a pool. I had the backhoe digging in my backyard. And I lost my job while it was digging. And I was like, stop. I could just have a hole in my backyard.
Yeah.
I have ghetto to me. We could put some trash bags out there and have a slip and slide. You know what I'm saying? Talk to us about some of those low points and some of those failures that you had in business and in your relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think, you know, when I first got into the startup world, I went with high optimism, came in there and I came in with a friend at the time. We put our money into this business, this startup, invited me in, and we got going. We had about three or four startups going. And, you know, within 6 months, we'd burned through our cash. You know, we were running off debt. You know, we had like $50,000 of debt.
Damien, give me the pitch that you gave to Claudine when you were taking all your money and getting with your boy. Okay, so I'm Claudine. I'm not as good looking as Claudine. I'm not as fit either. But I'm Claudine. You come home, you have this idea, you're going about to take all your money and put it with this buddy. Pitch me.
Well, you're going to be surprised. You're going to be surprised. Okay. The guy's there, right, on your left, right? And he's talking to us about, hey, this startup, I want to bring Damien into this startup. What do you think?
So he's talking to Claudine.
And both of us, right?
He's talking to both of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is this at?
Oh, this is in Australia, in Queensland.
No, but where? In your kitchen?
In our living room.
Your living room.
Yeah.
Is he sitting, standing?
He's standing.
Is he wearing a suit?
He's wearing like a bit of a suit. Yeah,
is it with shiny? No tie. Is it shiny?
It's not shiny.
It's not shiny? It's not that shark skin suit?
No.
Slick back hair?
No.
Just kind of messy?
Yeah, curly messy. Yeah.
Good looking dude?
I won't say anymore.
Was he fit?
No, I'm not going to say anymore.
Okay, go ahead. So he wasn't fit then. He was kind of robust then. You should have known at that point you shouldn't partner up with this dude. Okay, so the curly fat dude in the shiny suit is okay, so we got the scene set. You all can hear this. Curly hair, portly dude, shiny suit with a used car salesman. And he says, God. But he's standing. Are you guys sitting?
Yeah, you know, and he
you guys are sitting and he's standing.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And give me the tell
well,
me.
You know, at that time, you know, I was in a position where he could have said, "Hey, we're going to create fugle binders, right? The little things that go on your shoelaces, on the little pieces. Yeah. And I said, I'm in, right? Because I just wanted to go and start up and just get going into my own business, right?
Okay.
And
because of the relationship with him and you trusted him, or just because you just wanted to, you were
both,
just ready?
Both.
Okay,
both.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, so, you know, the thing I had with my wife is she's just as eager and, okay. and loves the adventure.
Okay.
And loves the opportunity of getting out there and you know, giving life a go and really taking risks. And so I'm very fortunate to have a partner that enjoys taking risks like I do.
Okay.
And she was in just as much as I was.
So what's the pitch? What does he say? I want to get Damien moving and we're going to do this thing. And Claudine is just looking at you and being like, yo, we're in. Yeah. We're riding. I'm going to ride or die. That's how it is?
That's right.
She needs to hang out with my wife. My yeah. wife is like, eh-eh. My wife is like, you better back up right now. I'm going to choke you out. You know what I mean? So go ahead. Talk
no,
to
No, that's right. Yeah. That. And so, you know, it was simple as that. And we're like, yeah, we're in. And we all put our life savings in. And we did anyway. And away we went on this startup. And that didn't work. We started something else. That didn't work. And we had three or four different goes at it. At that time, then there was four of us then in this business. We were like, you were broke, right? We had no money. We had big debt. We were, you know, I
remember. Okay, so when you say broke, right?
Yeah.
Because there's levels to broke. Yeah. There's levels to days. One of my buddies, shout out to Darren, he knows who I'm talking about. He's in Las Vegas. One time he came in, he sat down and got his hair cut. He's like, man, I'm having a bad day. I said, what happened? He's like, man, I was driving my BMW and the tire blew out. I had to call my assistant. Yeah. She brought me my other car, and then I had to drive that other car to the appointment to get my haircut. I said, Darren, that is not a bad day. That is a Darren bad day. So the next time I saw him, I said, how's your day? And he's like, I had a bad day. I said, is it a Darren bad day or is it a regular person bad day? When you were broke, are you talking about zeroed out in your bed? Because when I say broke, like when I, 2 years into our first business, I had zero in a bank account, all the credit cards maxed out, all my credit lines maxed out, zero, zilch, nothing.
Yeah.
And I remember coming down and saying to my wife, I'm working my butt off. I got nothing. And she just patted me on my back and she said, it'll be okay, baby. We'll get through this.
Yeah. Awesome.
Tell us the level of broke and then tell us the level. When you say I was up to eyeballs in debt, where were we at?
Yeah, you know, we had no income coming in. So okay. It was a zero balance.
Okay, zero balance.
We had somewhere around $50,000 to $60,000 in debt in cards. We were getting, you know, our parents giving us money to pay rent.
How were you getting the money? Were they giving you a check or were they giving you cash?
They were just giving us cash to get really? Through.
Okay. You know, in an envelope?
You know, it would wire it to okay. us. Yeah, you know, and that was day to day, week to week. And I remember, you know, I'd go out for coffee with friends and I couldn't pay, right? And
really?
I remember Claudine one day, she came home from the pharmacy, right? And she had some nuts, some almonds or something.
Okay.
And I'm like, what are you doing? You can't buy them. And she's like, I need to eat them, right? Because I'm a vegetarian. I was like, they're too expensive, you know? So nuts became a luxury item.
How did that come over? How did that go over in your relationship though? Mm. Because like, if I said to my wife, like, you bought some almonds.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then she, and I was like, you can't buy those. She would be like, I'll show you. You know what I'm saying? Like what happened? Tell us about that interaction. When you said they're too expensive, what did she say back to you? Was she like, thank you so much, Damien. I love you. And we have a great relationship. We're going to communicate through this. Or what happened?
Well, she said, I need them because I'm a vegetarian. It's part of my diet. I need that. Right. And so, so it was, you know, it was a stressful time and you know all about that. And, you know, it's being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel and those things.
Of course.
And, you know, I think what we did well at that time with the business partners there, we all got together and said, let's just do one thing really well. And there was this ed tech business that we were trialing out on this startup. And we saw some early signs of it going well. So we said, let's just do all that together. So we did that together, and within 6 months we're out of debt, and you know this thing started to really take off, and it was really exciting. But you know, if we had have caved it all in and got a job and you know quit it, you know that wouldn't have happened.
So when you say most people look at the bad times, think they're bad, and the good times think they're good, it's actually opposite. So talk to us about some of the good times that didn't do so good for the Dow family.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I continue on about this business, you know, we're like, well, this is doing great, right? And we're doing well, right? We're doing well, earning millions of dollars a year, and this is really taking off. You know, number of different startups through it. We did all these different things as we went through the business. And then we get this, we feel like we've made it. You know, we're in flashy cars. We've got multi-million dollar houses.
What's the thing? Because Now when you're not able to afford almonds, you're thinking, when I get my money, I'm about to go and do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was growing up, I remember, I'm glad that we didn't have any money at all, because I was going to put 50 series tires. That's the big, like the little tiny tires that are fat and stick off your car. I'm going to put that on my 71 Corolla station wagon. And God was like, no, you ain't, because you're a follower of me, and I ain't trying to look silly, have you driving around that dumb looking car. What was that thing that when you were down and out, that you were saying, I'm about to do that, it's irresponsible, and that you actually did it when you got money?
Yeah, well, it was build a big house.
Okay.
Yeah, and we did that, and that cost a lot of money.
So you went flashy.
Yeah.
What's the flashiest thing you did? You don't seem like a flashy guy to me.
Well, yeah, that's part of the story, right?
Let's go there. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, you know, so...
Did you get the shiny suit?
I got like a $4,000 suit.
Okay. Yeah. Was it shiny?
It wasn't shiny. Okay. I'm not a shiny suit
guy. Did you
guy.
Get like silk shirts and things like that?
No.
Get some silk drawers?
We didn't get any silk. Silk's not in Australia.
It's not good? What's good there? Like sheepskin?
Well, you know, just nice cotton. It's damn hot over there sometimes. It's like Florida. So
okay, so you got in. Things were going well. Flashy cars, flashy house.
Yeah.
Watches. What else?
Yeah, just, you know, big holidays, you know, first class everywhere. All those things that you do when you're unconscious about what you're doing, right? Okay. And, you know, and we were excited. You know, I suppose we were first time we'd ever had money in our life, and we're like, wow, this is amazing. And you know, it came with this, I suppose, this partying and drinking and all these different areas. And you know, and I think when we're in it, right? And then that was great. And then we got this, the business got a really exciting offer to be sold. And so we did the due diligence on it and went around it, and you know, we sat in a boardroom on a Friday, and the offer was $600 million, right, for this business. We had 20%, so you can do the math on that. And we're like, we sat around and everyone agreed that this is going to be a deal. We're like, this is great. You know, we're done. So I go home that weekend to my wife, and I was like, hey, this is what's happened. And, you know, that's an interesting time in your life when something like that happens and you have the opportunity to have a lot of this capital behind you. And, you know, it's a weird feeling. And on the Monday, however, I roll back into a meeting to the director at that time. I was like, hey, man. He's like, hey, I got something to tell you. I was like, what? And he's like, well, I canned the deal. I canceled the deal. I said, you did what? And he goes, yeah, I told him to F off. It's not enough money. So he bombed it, right? And I think that time, it made me reflect. I was sick, right?
Damien, you didn't reflect at that time. Did you choke the dude?
Well, I was white. I didn't know what to say, and it was a difficult time. Let's just say
this dude bigger than you?
He's not.
You could take this dude.
I could. Yeah. He probably thinks he could.
did you want to choke him?
Well, it was I didn't know what to do.
You're a very calm guy right now. Yeah. We're talking $600 million. Dollars. I'm going to say that again, because you said it in your accent and it sounded so sexy and it went through and everyone was like, oh, yeah, that's a little bit. No, let me say it again. $600 million on Friday and nothing on Monday.
Yeah.
That would make me want to choke somebody.
Well, I've probably calmed down since then.
Okay.
And it was difficult. But what it did maybe do is, you know, I started reflecting on where I was and what was going on. And
how long till you started reflecting? You did not reflect right when he said it.
Oh,
you weren't
no.
like, Damien Dow, I'm going to reflect and meditate right now. Hell no. How long did it take you?
I was irate. I was like, what are you talking about? What did you do? You know what I mean? And
what was he thinking?
He was thinking greed. He was thinking, no, we're worth a billion. You know, no, we'll get more. Don't worry about it. Trust me. We're going to get more in a year. And this thing's worth more than what they wanted to pay for it, for example, right? So he was giving me this assurance that he'll loaded up, and it was greed in the end, right? And it was power, greed, and it was someone who was running off ego. And that's what made me realize when I came home that week, was like,
how did you break this to Claudine? Because on Friday, you're popping bottles, you're Jay-Z. We just hit the lotto. Exactly. We're going. On Monday, you come home. Do you tell her right away? Or because I remember when, okay, this is a lot smaller situation. Here, I come here to, because my wife, you know, Brooklyn wanted to raise the kids by the water. I come here. I fly into Carlsbad. The guy told me that he had everything ready. It was 2 weeks before we were about to open. I got here. She's like, call me, FaceTime me as soon as possible because I want to see the location. And I got here and he had done nothing. Not one thing, not electricity, not plumbing, not nothing. And I looked at it and I was like, I ain't calling my wife. And it was a lot less than $600 million.
Yeah.
And then I waited for 2 hours. And when I called her after 2 hours, she's like, "Why? Where have you been?" I was like, "Oh, I was working." And I wasn't at all. But I was telling her that. And then she's like, "How is it look?" And I said, "Unbelievable." Because that's true.
Yeah.
How did you break this to Claudine?
Well, over the phone.
What?
I rang her straight away.
Right away.
Yeah, pretty much after that meeting.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
What did you say? Like,
I can't either. I think it was some of the lines of he called it off and it didn't happen. And I think I sort of went down the line of trying to sell her the vision of where we're going. You know, we were all in this to the end, right? We couldn't get out of anything. And I suppose I just put my faith in someone that I shouldn't have put my faith in. And we were along for the journey because I didn't have the controlling decisions of the business. And you know, there's not much we could have done. Unfortunately, but I would say that after that date, things changed in a big way.
So what happened? I mean, he steps away from the deal. He says, "Hey, we're going to go get more. Take us down. Like, take us through the timeline." Then, so what happens next?
Well, I reflect.
I want to reflect with Damien. Like, Damien, you are seriously, like, you're a real living Buddha, dude. Like, I just want to reflect with Damien. Like,
I looked at it and I was like, we're on the wrong road. We're on the wrong path here. You know, Claudine and I, my wife and I, and we've surrounded ourselves around narcissistic, egotistical people that are hungry for power and money, and nothing will stop. They will keep wanting more and more and more. And that's just not us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we saw at that time was a number of things. We saw some, you know, the founders were breaking up. Like, there was a lot of troubles in the founder area, right? So there was a lot of cracks starting to come open.
What were some of the things that you saw as far as traits? Because you mentioned quickly earlier, you said Wolf of Wall Street and then you moved on. So what were some of the things that you saw that you were like, I'm seeing this, and while you're in it, you're having a good time, but now you look back at it and you're like, that was a sign that this stuff was coming.
Yeah, you know, it's it's stuff to do with partying and drugs and drinking and you know, male and female sex and everything along those lines. And, you know, it was stuff that wasn't ethical and certainly wasn't part of our value system around that area. And you know, as I said, it was very egotistical natured. And for us, you know, that was just not what we were. And you know, we needed to try and get through it as best as we could. And, you know, it's interesting when you there's a change, right? There's always something that happens. And that moment in time, and things started to happen. You know, like I said, the founders started to split and we saw cracks and a lot of personal bad decisions made from some of the founders. And then we saw compliance issues with the business as well, right? And then the final bit happened.
What was the final?
The final bit was sitting around on a Friday and we got an email through.
Fridays are good for you.
This was not.
This is not a good Friday.
Yeah,
it's not a good Friday.
No,
the other Friday was real good. $600 million. That was a good Friday. You know what I'm saying? Like that could have been a holiday.
Yeah,
that could have overtaken good. I would have said like that would have been Good Friday. You know what I'm saying? Like some people are like, oh, Kelly, you just went. No, I'm joking with you. We're not really going to change that date. But if it was in my family, it would have been Good Friday for the rest of time.
It would have been celebrated.
Okay, so this email comes through. What's this email?
Yeah, it's our main contract cancels on us, right? It's 95% of our revenue. It's
95% of your revenue.
Yeah.
Tell us a number. What is this contract worth at the time?
Well, it was probably worth about $120 million a year. Right. So
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just this is amazing. Okay, cool. So you get one Friday, you're about to make 600 million. The next one of the other Fridays, it's like 120 million
gone.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. So within 6 months, the job gone. Within a year, the business went into administration. So I've just gone from something to absolutely nothing.
In a year?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about the houses, the cars, all those things. What happens with those things?
Yeah, we had some big debts out there. We were fighting some property battles with our house we built. We didn't have a lot of money. We'd spent it all. And so we had to sell. We had to sell our house, had to sell cars, had to sell...
Did you have multiple cars that you didn't drive? Were you rolling like that, Damien?
I had multiple bikes.
You did? Yeah. Okay, you were a motorcycle guy.
No, push bikes.
Push bikes.
Yeah, I started collecting cycling bikes, right?
Okay. So, and those cost as much as cars.
Well, 10 grand, 12 grand a pop, some of them, yeah.
How many did you have?
I had like 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's needed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's needed. You know what I mean? Because there's 8 days, 7 days in a week. Yeah. So watches started going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cars selling, house selling. And, you live a certain lifestyle. And funny enough, we had people around us at that time that were, we were like, hey, these are our friends. We're like losing this. And we're in a very difficult time of our life, right? They're just all gone, just all left us. Up and gone. And
like the social circle, because you're rolling in that realm, you're flying in those circles, and you're like, yo, we're about to be broke, but we're good people. And they were just like, deuces.
Yeah.
And really?
Then, yeah. And then our friends that were there before that, all that had just, they weren't there, right? Because we had just lost them through this journey because we had just, I suppose got lost in the journey and we thought we were around people that liked us for who we were, and that was certainly not the case.
And what was the most irresponsible thing that you had that you look back and you're like, why did I buy it? Now, you said the bikes, I mean, they have some function. You said a house, like that was irresponsible, but that you need to live in a house. Mm. I'm talking, did you have some like crazy pinky ring or something like that that was so stupid that you got it because you got it and you had the money to be able to do it? What was it?
Well...
Look, what was the dumb thing?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of them.
Okay, so tell me at least one then, Damien.
Well, I suppose we didn't need a $20,000 fridge, did we, in the house? So,
what did a $20,000, sub-zero,
yeah.
What did it do that you were like, I need that?
Well, it leaked a lot and it was annoying, so it was the worst fridge I ever had. I can't believe it was worth that much.
Hey, go easy because we're trying to get Sub-Zero as a sponsor on the show.
It looked amazing.
Yeah, look good. I'm just kidding with you. So that was the irresponsible. What was the irresponsible? Just you. Like you wanted it, you got it, and it was like, this is silly. Like now, this isn't, I get caught at night. The other morning, when I sleep with my son and then I wake up in the middle of the night, this is the weirdest thing. If I drink water during the middle of the night, like when I wake up, I can't go back to sleep. The other night, my wife was in Vegas working and I slept with my son, got up about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I went to bed and I took a drink and I knew I was going to stay up. So what do? You hop on your phone, I hop on Instagram, then there's an ad coming and they got me. Yeah. They got me. And I got the loudest boombox, Bluetooth boombox on the planet. Mm. Now, I'm selling this to my wife because I bought it. And I didn't only buy one. I bought two of them.
Gotcha.
And one time when I was about to get on the plane, this is the dumbest one that I've done. I was about to get on the plane. I read this article. And I was like, wow, these are going out of service. And so you got to buy them now. And I was reading the article. I was like, wow, this is so cool. I'm glad I read the article. Well, I didn't realize that it was a ad. It wasn't an article. So it was advertising this, and I've called right away. I ordered it, and I ordered like four of them. Got them at the house. Mm. They said they're going to go up in value because they're not going to be printed anymore. You know what they are, Damien? Uncut $2 bills.
Right.
And I paid a mint. and when I got them, I told my wife, I was like, look, these are about to go up in value. And she's like, No, you got $4 $2 bills. That's $8. I said, yeah. No, but you don't realize they're uncut. And they're in this nice folder. And she's like, it's $8. I said, you just don't understand, woman. What's that you don't understand, woman, that you did? What are some of the things that you... Tell us, Damien. What are some of the things that you bought that were just dumb?
Well, I think, you know, the cars. You bought this expensive Porsche.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a sports car guy, and I buy this Porsche GTS.
Okay.
And...
what color was it? Did you get Gaudi?
It was black.
It was a black one? Yeah, okay. It was like Batman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a cool looking car, but you know, I'm not into cars, but I thought I'm going to buy it because I can. And you know, a lot of bad, wrong, dumb decisions.
What else?
Just made.
Tell me another one. You got the Porsche, and a lot of people out there are like, a Porsche, good decision. You know, it's a great decision, Damien. It's an investment.
Yeah.
investment in who you are. Well, tell me another dumb one.
Well, you know, I think too many bikes, too many holidays.
Yep.
You know, we just spend too much, you know. We're just unconscious about what we're spending, and it was
What was the worst piece of jewelry you bought that you look back now and you're like, why did I buy that thing?
Well, funny enough, you know, some of the jewelry updated my wedding ring, right, for example, and I got an expensive wedding ring, and funny enough, when this all happened, lose my wedding ring. So
how'd you lose your wedding ring?
Well, I lost it in the beach or something, but I got my old one here, so you know,
that's the real stuff.
You know, it all comes around. So funny enough, you know, my wife and I was talking, is like, kind of like a lot of things that we bought over that time have gone out of our life now. Either, you know, it's been the universe has taken it out, or we've sold it, you know, and it's gone. And kind of like all that was just flushed away in a way. It was there and it was gone as quick as it came. Which was really interesting.
What did you learn about your marriage through that time?
Yeah, you know, we put making money before our marriage and before our family. And, you know, we're like, oh, just, you know, just this time, just this bit, you know, just this year, another year, and we can relax. We'll have all this money, right? And we'll be happy. And that's, you know, we've sacrificed our marriage. And our marriage, you know, we came despondent with each other, and it was a difficult time. You know, we were very, we were in two separate worlds, you know, at that time. And we had to bring that back after it all happened.
How did you bring it back? Like, when there's always, it really always interests me, because when you go through things like that, like what were the things that you started to do and be able to connect? Because honestly, like, guys, if you get a chance to meet Damien, all you out there listening, if you get a chance to meet Damien, I love this. Like, I love this story. This is awesome. I'm not going to tell anyone except all the people listening. But it's amazing to be able to see it, because when you see your wife and your family, I mean, dude, like, I don't see anyone. I've never seen anybody that's as focused on their family as you are.
Yeah, thank you.
It's very nice. It's really, really cool. I'm just saying that for the podcast, actually. It's not true. I don't feel it. but it's amazing. So what were some of the things that you and Claudine did? Like, let's talk from the very beginning. It's kind of despondent. You guys are, you know, you're driving Porsches and riding 8 bikes at one time because everyone needs that. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing these kind of things. You had the shark skin suit, you said, like the shiny suits that you had a lot of. What was that kind of come together point, and how'd you start rebuilding it?
Yeah, you know, I think at that time when it all just fell apart and everyone, we're just left with ourselves, you know, we had nothing, you know, literally it was...
Okay, are we talking Darren nothing? Or are we talking like zip, zilch, Nero, nothing, you walk away from the house and you ain't got nam?
I suppose you would say that we had some basic savings there out of the back end of this, but nothing that... was going to last long, right? We had to do something.
How long till the house was gone?
I mean,
because the company, it took a year to go away.
Yeah.
How long? I mean, was it cut off quick?
It was like 3 months.
Three months.
Yeah, the house is gone. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cars, everything in that 3 months.
Pretty much within those 3 to 6 months. Yeah. Yeah. So we were very, very low point. We were both at a, I would say, at a deep depressive state personally. And, you know, we're in that black hole, and I can see that's a difficult time for those people, for people that have been in that state, and it's a difficult time to get out of. And it's a vicious cycle that just spirals downwards. And for us, you know, I think what we did to get through that period personally and together was, is we went internal to ourselves firstly, and we started to work on ourselves, and we started again, right? We started again, and we got back to what was important to us and what was important to our marriage and our family. And we started with the basics again and really rebuilt our relationship, rebuilt our connection to our kids again, and rebuilt ourselves again over a period of time to get back up and start again. And that was a very difficult time. It was probably the most difficult time for both our lives. We wouldn't trade it for anything, you know, and that's the thing I say about bad is good and good is bad sometimes. And, you know, that lesson has been so valuable, and what we've been through, the resilience, is a testament to both of us. And it puts us instead now that there's not too much that phases me, to tell you the truth. There's not too much in life that can go wrong that I get too upset about, because when you go through something like that, it really makes you think about things, you know, particularly the ability, you know, the one thing that I could have lost was my marriage and my kids. And for me, that was the most scariest thing of all time. But, you know, we're very fortunate. We have a very strong bond, and, you know, we wanted to make it work, which is a big difference. And no question, majority out there possibly would have gone the other way. But for us, you know, thank goodness that we made it work, and we wanted to, and we're stronger for it now, which is fantastic.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you're enjoying it. Now's the time to do some shameless promotion. This episode is brought to you by Squeeze Dried, a delicious, no-hassle way to get superfoods, vitamins, and nutrition. SqueezeDried.com. It's also brought to you by Cardenas Law Group, a high-level boutique law firm for all your personal injury needs. That's CardenasLawGroup.com. Thank you so much again for listening. Hopefully you're continuing to enjoy the episode. It's imminent, I believe, that you're going to be more successful than you've ever been in your life in the endeavor that you're doing. What's going to stop you from going down that road again? Because you live in America. And in America, I think one of the greatest things that we have and the worst things that we have is the shortest memory of all time. Meaning, when 9/11 happened, I remember it, and it happened, and everyone freaked out. Oh, my gosh. And it was one of the worst catastrophes to ever hit this country. And I remember going and being in line at the airport, and everyone celebrating, super long lines, saying, I'm so glad we're safe. This is the greatest place in the world. I'm so glad that they're checking everything. Yeah. And then about 3 months later, Damien, I was in that same line hearing those same people talk about why we got to wait so long. I can't believe they're taking up all my day, blah, 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 blah. We got the shortest memory in the world.
Yeah.
What's going to stop you when what you're doing, which it is going to be more successful than you've ever been, what's going to stop you from doing it again?
Yeah. You know, I think that's, for me, is something that I've spent some time on. There's no question. And, you know, you go through these things as a massive learning lesson, you know, and it's part of the journey of self-discovery and self-growth. It's led to me, like I said at the start, you know, the ultimate purpose for me. This was born out of that, out of this. Active Place was born out of the lows for me, because I wanted to get back to something that I was passionate about, something I believe in, and something that's my ultimate purpose in life. And this is what was born out of it, which is fantastic. You know, for me, getting through the demons of how we recklessly spent money and, you know, didn't consciously think about that is something I've gotten through. And for us, it's about welcoming money into the business or into our lives. And we welcome it to actually serve. We welcome it to serve our customers, to serve a problem in the market. And then for us, you know, we are very strong on serving the environment. And for us, it's actually doing good with that. And that serves our life as well. And we've still got big endeavors to be successful. And that's fine. You're allowed to have that. But it's about being conscious and using that money consciously in good, to serve the world and get a good outcome, right? And a good actually do something positive in the world. And for us, that's where we've got to with it. And we feel good about that now. You know, we've been through that.
Some people I see half the society, not half, but I mean, let's say a percentage says, I just want to do what I love. And they almost shun financial success, saying that that's almost the devil. I don't want that. Then the other side is like, yo, you can hug people all you want, but that ain't going to pay your rent.
Yeah.
So you got these extremes. And all the people always say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I don't believe that to be true. I believe if you make the right cake, there's no reason to make it unless you're going to eat it. Do you think that you can have crazy financial success and the loving, hugging family aspect? Because I don't see many examples of it. Do you think that's possible?
Undoubtedly. For me, it's not about that. You know, it's not about the money. It's actually about a purpose, right? It's about serving. It's about creating a great outcome, doing something good in the world, serving the world, whatever that may be for that for you. Money comes with that. It'll naturally come. And that is there to you use for your life, and you use it there to continue the service. And for us, it's not about that anymore. It's not about the funds. And we just know that will just come when it's ready. But what we need to focus in on is actually doing something good in the world. And that's where we got to in the end. And you know, we've come full circle. But we haven't come full circle without this journey, right? Without these highs and the lows, without, like we said at the start, getting out there and just giving life a go, and willing to take the hits, willing to take struggle and enjoy it, embrace it, because it's good. It's actually going to take you forward. And today that's where we are, and we're really excited about where we're going in the future.
Well, I think it's exciting too to hear you talk about it, Damien, because like when I hear you talk about it, like you're saying, I want to do the right thing for the right reason, and the right thing will ultimately come.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because when we go back, we were talking about the thought process, and you were talking about your mental strength. You were talking about that resilience and working through. And I think that there's so many people out there as far as listeners. And when I was a listener to people, I was like, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm broke right now and I need to get some money. But what they were saying is, if you fix your mind and you start thinking on doing the right thing, the money will come to you. But when you chase the money, it'll always end up going away.
Yeah. Yeah. Law of attraction. It's real. And it's fact for me. Like, you attract what you bring forward. And it's not about your actions. It's about what your vibration is. It's about your energy and what you give out. If you're thinking bad thoughts, if you're thinking and vibrating these certain things, like we were vibrating, hey, we want money early on, and hey, it came, right? And it came in a bad way. And so for me, it's about what you're actually vibrating. Now, it's about what you created, no doubt. You created that in your mind. The whole Kelly Cardenas salon empire was created in your mind before it became physical, right? And then it came physical. And that's the whole thing. It's like, hey, you need to actually put forward the right vibrations first before you start to work on it physically, because you can work physically if you want, but if you're not right and not putting the right energy out, it's just not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But you're 100% right. It comes with mindset, and it comes with what your intentions are and what your energy you're putting out.
How was your mindset when Kevin Durant left the Warriors? Were you vibrating on a positive sense saying, thank you so much for your service? Or were you being like, are you kidding me?
Well, you know,
because you're a Warriors fan. I'm a Warriors fan.
I'm a big Warriors fan.
Hey, I'm a big Warriors fan too, man. I mean, shout to the Dubs.
Yeah.
I'm some people say a fair weather fan, but I started liking them before they started winning.
Yeah.
But like first year that they called them the Splash Brothers, I was in, I was loving. I mean, just, oh man, my son is, throwing his arm up and like Steph Curry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How'd you feel when KD left?
Well, you know, I think it's a difficult one, and I understand it's a business,
yes,
you know, and he kind of he came, he got what he was after, and then he wanted to do his own thing. And I get that, and you got to respect that.
Yeah,
you know, do I want him? Of course, you know, I mean, they were a formidable team, and if they had hung there, they would have just gotten better and better. And I'd say good luck to him. But you know what I love about the administration, the coaching staff, and the culture they have there is they'll bounce back.
Yes,
right, and they've got maybe one or two plays there they need to make. And, you know, they're probably a couple of years away from another run. Yeah.
Who do you think wins the NBA championship this season?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I mean, you're going to go up against – you got to go Lakers v. Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
You got to.
You think Jimmy – but you think Jimmy Buckets is in the mix?
No, look, that – I mean, Brooklyn's all about bringing the team together. If they can gel and like they did in the Warriors, right,
yeah.
Then – They're going to win. They're going to win. There's no question. But it's going to be a tough one. I mean, the East is strong now. You know, I just can't see Philly overtaking them. They're too young. But, I'd love to see a Brooklyn v. Lakers. You know, I'm still upset about LeBron and how he manhandled, you know, Steph in a couple of those final series. So I'm kind of not a LeBron fan, but I'd like to see him go out strong with maybe another championship.
It would be amazing, man. Yeah. So I started the podcast just because my kids, McKenna is 12, and you see her in the neighborhood running around. Maddox, who is 9, he's a cartoon character, and you see him running around. The reason why is because I wanted to take iconic figures like yourself, and I wanted to humanize them to my kids. I wanted my kids to see that a Damian, who has accomplished all these amazing things and has this phenomenal mindset, who can, I mean, literally has dad strength and your Iron Man. Literally, you have you have a titanium hip.
Yeah.
Right? You're not a superhero. No. You don't got different type of blood running through your veins or different type of breath going in your lungs. You're a man that has a phenomenal attitude and has crazy work ethic.
Thank you.
And that's what I wanted to show them and help them to realize that if you want to get a company valued at $600 million on Friday and lose it all on Monday, you could do that. But then you could build it again. You could build it even bigger.
Yeah, 100%.
What would your advice be to Maddox and McKenna? And if you could use their names, Damian, it would be awesome.
Well, Maddox and McKenna, I think what you need to do is you need to follow your purpose and you're going to follow what you're passionate about and don't let anyone stop you from what you're passionate about, your family, no one. You follow that and everything will work out the way it's meant to.
Damian, it has been an absolute pleasure. It's incredible because Damian, I want to tell all the listeners out there, first of all, you got to subscribe, click the links, hit all our sponsors, do that. Check out activeplace.com too. It's coming. The app is coming. It's phenomenal. But more than that, the founder is phenomenal. And I invest in businesses who I love the people who created the business. Does that make sense? But it's funny because when we were going to do the episode, we were going to do the show, and you were like, yo, let's meet up for coffee and talk. You know what I mean? Let's do this. And I deliberately stayed away from it. The reason why is because I wanted it to be raw. I wanted it to be real. And I tell you, you delivered on such a high level today, man. Who you are is so phenomenal. I think and more people that get around you, I honestly, I don't care what you do. I want to be a part of it. And I think every listener out there is and wants to be a part of it because of who you are, man. And I applaud you as a man, as a husband, and as a father. And those things, man, I really, really, really admire you. And I want to thank you for being on the show.
That's very kind words, Kelly. I don't think I deserve all that, but thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's awesome.